wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. Nice pour there, sir.
Thank you very much.
I am Jeremy Lance.
Yours is already drank, so I'm not going to compliment you.
Yeah, either. Both my pours were traumatic.
No, I was going to say, some end up on the floor.
Listen, like, the can, like, exploded on me both times.
Look,
I don't know how it didn't happen.
You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about this because Mrs. Wrong Side of the Pond doesn't listen to this.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry.
As far as she knows.
As far as she knows, this
beer did not get all over the living room and the kitchen.
No, none of those things happened.
Sweet.
Cool. I think the dog might have cleaned up any of the trails that you left behind as well, so.
It's a good dog.
It's a solid start to this week's episode.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. Champions League semifinals.
Mm-hmm. Foaming over, much like.
much like the beer I was trying to pour.
That's right. We also had an exciting weekend of domestic action.
Yeah, a lot of good domestic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Both here and afar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was Premier League.
There was also Premier League.
Some of it matters.
Is that?
Not
it's,
a lot
it's
of
It's an afternote now, isn't it?
It kind of feels that way. Mm-hmm. Like, because just so, I mean, unless you are one of the teams clinging on to or trying to crawl out of the pit of despair that is relegation, everything's pretty much just kind of where it's going to be for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Tottenham will continue to bottle their fourth place standing and let Chelsea steal that from them again.
No, I don't like the idea of that at all.
Well.
By the time you listen to that, you may know the answer to that as well. Yeah. So,
well and bottled.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into all the fun that was the weekend, let's get out of the way the fantasy that none of us want to talk about, and frankly, none of us even want to hear. You don't.
Sign me up for whatever this is.
Yeah. Premier League action, Jay Slack, no surprise, 8 shows running now that he's been on top. Way to go, Jay. That's what you do now at this point.
Hey, you.
I fell 1 place, you fell 3, I'm at 72, you're at 133, you are now officially into the bottom 10. Over to MLS, just 21 entrants, don't worry, I'm number 20, staying right where I have been, you fell 3 places to 18th, so we're almost completely crap together. Sarkar's GSFC remains on top for his 7th week in a row. There's your fantasy update, no one wanted to hear that, now it's over with.
So not only do we go straight into Premier League, but I think there's stuff more important. Like we said, this week, all the focus was on Champions League semifinals as we had 2 very tasty matchups, and it didn't disappoint.
It didn't. And this was definitely the best soccer of the entire weekend. Or not weekend, but week, given that all this unfolded in the midweek, but hands down, the Champions League has been spectacular this year, especially the knockout phases. Once we've gotten beyond the group stage, you kind of felt like there's no way it could have gotten better than the last round. No, we're getting every bit as much out of it in the semifinals as well.
Let's start with the absolutely bananas match that was Liverpool 5, Roma 2. So Liverpool just run riot for like, I don't know, the first 80 minutes of this match.
Yeah, it could have easily been like 7 or 8 nil in the early running of this. And the fact that Roma got 2, and we'll get on to more about why that's so important here in a minute, but the fact that they got 2 at the end makes it seem a lot closer than the match actually was. Like 5-2 is not an accurate description. It's like an 8-2.
Right.
Or maybe even like an 8-1 or an 8-0 would have felt okay given the way the opening stages of the matches went. But outside of like the 2 goals conceded, this might be one of the best ever performances I've ever seen in the Champions League.
Yeah.
At least this late in the competition.
Yeah, to be in the semifinals and absolutely just bossing your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely – Liverpool came out and – you instantly thought, like, Roma's not, like, they shouldn't even be on the same field.
For large stretches of that, and people have been underestimating them all tournament long. I mean, obviously, Barcelona did to a certain extent, given what they did. And now we're in that situation again where, you know, they find themselves 3 goals down. They've been here for the second leg, return leg, back to their home stadium. I mean, anything's possible at this point. So, obviously, they're believing, but... For the way the performance went in the first leg, this team was so undeniably washed aside by the way that Liverpool came at them. You kind of felt like, is this even the team that played in the previous matches?
Right.
It was like a bunch of imposters walked out and decided, like, oh, we're going to play soccer for Roma today.
Yeah, it was baffling to see how overwhelmed they became in this match.
Sure.
By what Liverpool was throwing at them. But for Liverpool, I mean, all credit to them. I mean, they came out and they absolutely, ran riot. I mean, the scoring goals, and it all kind of boiled around the guy who is the player of the year and was voted on the Premier League player of the year. Mo Salah absolutely carrying this team at points in the season. And he was definitely the fixture there that was just causing all these problems. And it was a performance from Mo Salah that, I saw some tweets where people were like, literally, like, the only other players they've seen put on that kind of individual performance on that kind of stage are your Cristiano Ronaldo's and Messi's.
I mean, that's a pretty exclusive group.
Yep.
I don't – stop me if we talked about this a bit last week, but there's a lot of talk going around, like, about, you know, Salah obviously winning the PFA Player of the Year award this week, which, of course, is voted on by the players, so you can't really argue a whole lot. A little line of thinking there, of course, is that the players who play in the Champions League could get midweek exposure when everyone else is resting might help them to win awards. Ignore that entirely. The point I'm getting at here is there's some dissension as to whether or not Salah's the best player in the world right now. You look, and obviously Ronaldo's been on fire. He's had, like, right. I think 12 goals in his last five games.
Messi had a hat trick today.
But you look at Salah's extended form over the last 6 months, no player even touches it. And the fact that he opened this up, I think everyone was kind of going, like, can't believe it took him 34 minutes to do this. You know what I mean? Like, it's so expected. And we're going to get into the weekend, right? And he had one of his trademark little chipped running at the keeper goals that he missed. But he did this once in this game. And you kind of knew, like, as soon as he got into the open space, you're like, well, that's money in the bank right there.
Put it on the board.
He's just so full of confidence, capable of pulling it off. And the breakaway speed that he has is just
You talk about him being kind of the, you know, the one of the best players in the world right now. His performance this year and just kind of the questions about the fact that this is his second Premier League side that he's playing for right now.
Sure.
Has gone to the extent where it has prompted Jose Mourinho to deflect blame on why Mo Salah does not wear the Chelsea blue anymore. Like, he had to go out and make comments like, hey, don't blame me.
A guy who no longer coaches at the club.
Right.
Being blamed for something for a guy.
Right, because everybody's looking at that and going, well, I mean, my goodness. Way to go, Jose. Way to go, Jose. Why would you get rid of, like, a guy who's, like, now the best player in the world?
But again, like, he got rid of De Bruyne. He got rid of, you know, there were a number
pretty much all at the same time, those two guys.
Schürrle, you know, obviously.
Yeah, also player, not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sometimes guys just don't work out places. Like, that just – sometimes that doesn't happen.
But it would have been so much cooler if they had.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. But it's frustrating nonetheless.
I mean, let's ignore the fact that what you just mentioned there, those three players, were essentially within the Chelsea formation vying for the exact same spot.
Yes. All of them will be on the field at the same time, right?
That will all be. We're gonna line up three wingers on the right, and then just nothing else.
Good. That's a strategy that will work for you.
Yeah, I think it'll be.
Yeah,
they'll share it really well too.
But obviously, a tremendous result for Liverpool. We need to make mention, obviously, of the two goals conceded at the very end. Massive goals for Roma. People say, like, hey, there's no way they can pull off a great escape again. Look, guys, they just they just did it against arguably the best side in Europe right now.
Mm-hmm.
They could totally do it again.
Right.
And I will tell you, from the Liverpool fans that I've talked to going into this, they're all sitting a little antsies in their pantsies at the moment.
Yeah, those two goals coming in late, it just totally changes. You know, not only does it make it look like the match was actually close.
Sure.
In any way, shape, or form, like you mentioned, but...
It was not.
It now creates a situation where, honestly, like, what going into the Barcelona match... The second leg there against Barcelona, really not. It wasn't really any worse.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, they were 3-0 down there. That was the only difference at that point. They now have away goals that are on their plus side. So if they get the 3-0, like, they're already through, provided they keep it there.
So that's it's technically a better situation than what they had versus Barcelona.
It was. Now, can you do that twice in a row? I mean, that's a pretty big comeback.
We shall see.
We shall, and we shall hope at the same time, I think, for the most part, if nothing else, for recording purposes.
See those scenes again in Roma?
Yeah, sure.
People freaking out, hugging everybody.
Yeah. Long hugs.
Oh, the ones, like the real long ones? Like the ones that go on like so long where you're like, should I stop hugging this person?
Today,
are they going to stop hugging?
I witnessed someone give a hug that was
too long.
30 seconds long, and then they followed it up with another person after that that also got about a 30-second
hug. I mean, we're talking like a 30-second hug. At some point, I'm like, did this person just fall asleep on me?
I wouldn't argue against it.
Did he pass out on me?
I wouldn't argue against it.
Did this person just pass out on me?
I will also tell you that this happened in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Probably not Dave Chappelle? Was it Dave Chappelle?
It was not Dave Chappelle. Okay. There were no Dave Chappelle sightings. Hanging off... around Yellow Springs, you will run into Dave Chappelle. It's a given.
If you go to that one festival they always have every year, he pretty much just mills about that.
Yeah.
So
he mills about Yellow Springs in general very frequently.
Well, I mean, that's basically all you do in Yellow Springs is mill about.
You're not wrong. It's what we were doing. Other than this match, obviously, there were a horde of other matches. No, there were just one to deal with. And obviously, that was Real Madrid getting a 2-1 victory over Bayern Munich.
Right, coming back in this one. Mm-hmm. Munich scoring first. Oddly enough, that goal being assisted by James Rodriguez.
Uh-huh. Coming back to bite the mothership a little bit.
Yeah, it's weird. Now, I remember back when Chelsea were in the semis against Atletico, and it was the year before they brought Courtois over.
Yeah, that's right, and he was on loan.
And they were trying to fight it, actually, trying to make it so that he couldn't play.
And if memory serves me right, he denied them the opportunity to advance?
Yeah, they didn't advance.
Yeah.
It was Atletico that moved on, and then... Costa didn't eat enough horse placenta, and they ended up losing to their in-town rivals.
Bitter rivals.
Mm.
Quite bitter. But obviously, Madrid getting the better of the action here, looking like a side that seemed pretty capable at this point, right? Like, if you had to pick one team in the Champions League, one, outside of Liverpool,
right?
And Liverpool, like, maybe we're at the crest, maybe we're not, but Madrid are just steady go, steady getting it done.
This would be three in a row for them if they pull this off, right?
That's incredible. Keep you in mind, in the modern Champions League era, no team had won it twice before Real Madrid did it last year and the year prior.
So, I mean, what is that? We can talk about what it means in the lore of Madrid, but more importantly, what does that mean to the legacy and the story that is Cristiano Ronaldo here in the later years playing some of his most impactful. He's been the catalyst to help win the Euros, and now he's just breaking off Champions League wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this is a massive exclamation point on the on a guy who's in his, starting in his mid-30s.
I don't disagree at all. But sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles, particularly with this sport.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
don't know if you're looking for hotter takes from me.
I need a hot take here, DJ. I need you to just come in here, just scolding hot take. Just melt my face with something.
Rafa Benitez.
Okay. Fair enough.
I can't think of anything hotter than that. It's like a right out of the hot dishwasher in the back before he runs it out, you know, on the next tray.
Here's my question. Will Cristiano Ronaldo come out with a book and subsequent Facebook series about how he's trying to beat time?
Mm-hmm.
Like Tom Brady is.
I'd love to see them have a competition together.
Who can stay on top the longest?
Yeah. Who do you think would actually be able to do it?
Well, I think Brady's, first of all, already, like, I think 3 years older.
Okay.
So.
It just handicap Ronaldo the three,
okay,
the 3 years.
Okay, we'll do that.
But do you think Brady will be playing in, let's say, 3 years versus Ronaldo playing in 3 years?
I mean, honestly, I think Ronaldo will be a guy who will probably be still, like, in his, like, mid to late 30s,
mm-hmm,
and still playing for Madrid and still banging in goals and still being a relevant piece of that machine.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I do think he's going to be around for quite a while at Madrid. Everyone expects him to leave now that he's achieved just about everything, but no.
Why leave? Why leave when, you have nowhere to go?
Well,
where are you going to go?
United? Sure.
You don't like the guy running that team?
No.
You've already had one running with that guy. Why would you want a second?
Yeah, just for the drama.
If you go to PSG, what's that? What's that going to do?
You can join Wenger, maybe. No.
Potentially. Or Conte.
Or
depends
someone.
On what rumor you're reading today.
Yeah, it really does. Day after day.
I think Patrick Vieira is actually going to take the PSG job.
Sure.
why not at this point?
Why not? Yeah.
All right, let's go back over to England. Premier League was this weekend. But the big match happened on Sunday as Arsene Wenger made his final trip to Old Trafford in what was a letdown.
Yeah, something they're kind of accustomed to, I would say, in big matches of late. Obviously a big letdown for Wenger's men in his last ever appearance, falling 2-1 to United.
Dagger at the end there.
Mm.
Jose was actually like, nice to
have him. Jose's been kind of in a weird, nice mood over the last couple weeks. One, because there's very little pressure on him right now.
Right.
He knows he's going to slip out of these Champions League places.
Right. There's really nothing. I mean, there's nothing that they're finishing second.
Yeah.
Whether they just crap the bed from this point on or not.
I think he's all right with either scenario.
Yeah. So he's just, he's on the beach.
He'll find it useful. Whatever the end result is, he'll find a useful way to use it in a way that would benefit him.
But you had the scenes of Jose and Fergie down there,
mm-hmm,
to greet Arsene before the match.
Sure.
I mean, this is going to be the last few weeks here. Is the Arsene Wenger, retirement tour.
Oh man, there's 2 weeks left of it.
Right.
At this point, it's going to be glorious.
Leaving the Premier League, and he's going to be, everywhere he's go, there's going to be this kind of little bit of fanfare of, there he goes. Hey, let's go out and make sure the manager shakes his hand beforehand.
I want him to come back to another Premier League team. Obviously, it's going to have to be someone smaller, but think of like an Everton with Mourinho in charge.
Fulham's going to get promoted. He can take that gig.
Why not?
Just take the Fulham gig.
All right. Into the cottage.
He would go in. French guys like cottages.
Yeah, that's very true.
So Arsene, his latest card's on the table, though. They need to win Europa. Spoiler. They let that one slip.
Yeah, it did not. The first leg did not go well.
Did not go well. Mm-hmm. They had about 98 chances. They converted one of them, and they let out Griezmann equalize, like in the 86 or something like that.
Sure.
So he fielded a very weakened side against United. This is not the side you would ever expect Arsenal to throw out against Manchester United at Old Trafford.
And?
And for a while there, it looked, hey, this is not going too terribly. You had Pogba score early. Mm-hmm. You had the equalizer from Mkhitaryan.
Okay.
And you're thinking, hey, this ain't so bad.
Look at us go.
This might actually work out. We might actually pull this off.
Debatable.
It didn't.
No.
It didn't pull it off. United scoring at the death. Was it Fellaini? Was that who scored?
I believe it was.
God, that's awful.
Just
a dagger there for Arsene Wenger as mm-hmm. he thought he was going to be able to walk out of Old Trafford with a little bit of holding your head high, and it does not happen.
Nah, I secretly am
gut punch
every single time he walks out of that stadium. He's thinking about my face, just
your face,
just mine personally. He won't recognize it, but I hope it haunts him.
Some random guy.
Just
some random white guy's
smiling
face
at me.
Showing up
just
in my head.
Smiling would be lovely.
Let's jump around the rest of the EPL here real quickly.
It feels almost afterthought. I'm saying this earlier.
Nothing matters.
Yeah. But let's pretend like it does, just for a couple minutes.
All right, we'll pretend.
Okay, let's start. We talked about them earlier. Liverpool 0, Stoke 0. Huge game for Stoke from a point perspective. They desperately needed that.
Yeah, they can't really afford to have these kind of post Champions League hangovers where they're just not doing much.
No. As for Liverpool, they can definitely withstand that. But they just don't seem to ever get it going when they have an opportunity to take the foot off their gas a little bit, at least as far as like what's going on in the season. The other thing that's really nuts, this game they started everyone. Salah started, Firmino started.
So this is not the Wenger rolling out a bunch of toddlers and then captaining Xhaka as he did.
Yes.
This is the A team for Liverpool rolling out there.
Sure.
So 0-0 with Stoke. Hey, big for Stoke. Stoke needed those points. Mm-hmm. Stoke very happy about said points.
Well, yes.
Other matches, Crystal Palace exploding all over Leicester City.
Yeah, that's 5-0. Insane.
Everton get a 2-0 win over Huddersfield Town.
Mm-hmm.
And what is a very important match, and what was the win or go down match, and really, actually, all of them at this point are basically win or go down for West Brom. They chose to win this time.
Way to go, guys.
They got the 1-0 win over Newcastle. Also getting wins were Southampton, getting a big result. 2-1 win over Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
They needed that one. Swansea City, though, they slip. They lose to Chelsea in a match they probably should have got more out of.
Sure.
As Chelsea just seem to not really care.
Yeah, that's accurate.
I mean, Chelsea were pinned back for most of the second half.
Yeah, absolutely.
And still absorbed it all.
Well, it didn't help that Fabregas scored 4 minutes in, and that was about it.
Like, all right, we got our goal. We're good.
Yep, that's all we needed.
Stand down, everybody. So what does that look like? That looks like West Brom, congratulations, you're actually still in 20th, despite the win. But you get closer to things.
Sure.
Only 2 points ahead of you are Stoke. Stoke got that 1 point that was much needed and got it against a Liverpool side that you would expect them not to get said point against.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a situation where we've had a couple of these teams that are at the bottom finally catch some fire.
Yeah. I mean, all three of those teams got results mm-hmm. this weekend. Southampton, they get their win. That helps them out. They are now, with the Swansea loss, only 1 point away from Swansea.
Ooh, boy.
Swansea now, just as they thought they were escaping, the like zombie arm shooting through the door there, pulling them back in.
Oh, man.
They thought they had gotten away. But not the case. Huddersfield Town and West Ham, who lost very convincingly to Manchester City, not too far behind with 35 points apiece. The two teams at the bottom have all played 36 matches.
Sure.
18 through like whatever. Yeah, they've all played 35 matches. So some games in hand there, but otherwise bad deal if you're Swansea and others that thought you were sitting pretty And now objects in the rear view are
closer than they appear.
They're so close.
Well, it's just if you don't like MLS roster rules, this is probably a reason why. Just a hunch.
Let's go stateside.
Stateside. Let's start with the opening of a new crown jewel in American soccer.
StubHub.
The StubHub Center. No, sorry, WCPO. The Bank of America Center, where Carl Lehner the second. Wait, no, I'm sorry, WCPO. Carl Lehner the third was in with the VP of FC Cincinnati, Jeff Birding.
Well, actually,
I'm sorry. No, it was actually the president of FC Cincinnati, Jeff Birding. They were in the house as LAFC opened up their brand new home ground just outside of downtown Los Angeles. A beautiful building, Bank of America Stadium, really well put together. Incredible work that the club has done to actually build out a following that they have right now that's been so passionate, it works so well about. A really cool moment, seeing a stadium in a major city like that, getting a fanfare open. Like, Will Ferrell opened it up with a freaking falcon on his hand.
Some falconry.
Falconry. If you can't enjoy that, there's something wrong with you.
You're not a fan of falconry. I don't know. I have nothing for
just
you.
Just get out of this podcast. We don't need you. What else caught your eye this weekend domestically?
Atlanta United. I don't know if you heard of them. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they've done some stuff.
They win 4-1 over Montreal at home. Another, 45,000 in attendance for that.
Ignoring attendance, they're pretty damn good this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They win that one, actually. Kevin Kratz had
two
free kick goals in this one.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
I saw one of them.
Yeah, the second one, probably the more spectacular, where Evan Bush basically just completely froze and was like, I can't do anything.
Sure.
I have no options here. Toronto FC continue their lackluster performances post CONCACAF Champions League matches, which, by the way, bummer. They didn't make. They didn't win. They didn't make history.
Oh, really?
They are not the first MLS side to ever win.
Oh, man.
They lose in penalties. Painful one. I don't know if you heard about it. Michael Bradley
skied the pen.
Could have maybe placed that a little better.
Still not down yet.
Yeah.
Can we real quickly just talk about this match?
Sure. It's
unfortunate.
Let's sidebar.
But, they had a really good first match out, right? Played themselves into it. Got themselves into a situation where they were able to make a second match where they could keep themselves in it.
Right.
And it all kind of fell to pieces for them still.
Yeah. I mean, they you thought they were mounting this comeback and you're like, wow, they're actually going to do this. They're going to do this. They're going to do this. Oh, we're going to pens. And they can still do this. They did not do it.
No. It fell apart in the way that we've all become accustomed to in American soccer here over the last year.
Yeah.
And everyone was, of course, drawing hot conclusions about what that means about American soccer. Everyone was really ready to ordain this as probably the best American soccer side ever prior to the game. After the game, everyone was like, oh, they're just trash, the league's trash, the team's trash.
Michael Bradley, worst player in the history of
American soccer. Oh, God, just it's so
bad. That was the other take.
It's the lack of context just within the last 4 to 8 years. We're not even going back that far. Michael Bradley, look, regardless.
To be fair, though, Michael Bradley, historically not great at penalties.
No, and to be fair, Michael Bradley, when he has lows, they're evident, very clear lows. Mm-hmm. When he has highs, he has pretty evident, very clear highs. But God, people, he is still one of the best players we've ever produced. It's absurd to think otherwise, given his credentials and where he played and how frequently he was in it. He was a player that was of high quality. Just show the guy a modicum of respect in a way that, like, hey, you would want to have if it were you out there running, you know, circles around everything.
Agreed.
Mm.
Hey, the Crew actually won a match.
Hey, guys, way to go.
So that's a thing.
Was Jossie Zardes involved?
I think so. I can't read. My phone just died. I can't research anything. USL. Did you guys had a match?
Yeah, we had a match.
I had a match. Mm-hmm. Scored a few goals.
A few of them.
That was one note to take away.
Yeah, sure.
Floodgates kind of opened on the scoring potential that this we've all knew that was kind of within this side.
Yeah, only the second time this season they've had hit more than double digits.
Double digits?
Not double digits, but double goals. More than one goal, maybe that's what I'm looking for here.
There you go.
But ultimately, second time this year they pulled that off, and then they get to this particular game, and they struggled for the first half, and Kenny Walker just breaking open the tie with an absolutely mind-blowing effort off the volley, first time, off the clearance from the goalkeeper's goalkeeper behind him. People keep comparing it to the Zlatan thing. Oh, man. I mean, it's not wrong at all to compare it to that.
The crazy thing about this goal is it literally was a goal kick from Special Richie.
Sure.
Gets headed over to Kenny and then volleyed it.
That's what makes it so difficult, right? Like, it's against the run of the play. It's not like a ball that was bouncing with him.
So the ball left the box and then didn't touch down until it landed in the goal.
Three touches.
Yep.
Sometimes that's all it takes. And it really turned the weekend on the head as far as those kind of things go. It's just that type of goal.
Sports Center top 10.
Yeah, exactly. It garnishes attention.
It went viral.
Yeah. And that demoralizing kind of aspect maybe even opened things up a little bit more for Ottawa. Like 45 seconds later, Corbin Bone getting on the end of an Emmanuel Ledesma cross. And then not all much longer after that.
And that'll get your head spinning to give up one of those, right?
Sure. For
sure. You're sitting there going, like, how did that even happen?
I didn't mean. And Ledesma getting a third following his industrious day, I'd say. Obviously, he set up the second goal and then did a bunch for the team throughout the course of the second half. So, job well done, boys. And obviously, hat tip to Kenny. Incredible goal. Look, everyone dreams of scoring goals like that. And he just got one as a professional.
He sure did. So, before we wrap up, go winners and wankers.
Yep.
We're throwing out a question to our listeners. We'll put it on social media. We'll mention it other places.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you heard this. U.S. didn't make the World Cup.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. So
that ruins my plans this summer.
Right. So you're just not going to watch.
No.
A lot of you have been kind of scrambling and been trying to make your plans and figure out, like, how are you going to approach the World Cup? Who are you going to support? What are you going to do?
Sure.
So that's our question. It's like, if you are supporting someone else, if you're going to go, hey, I'm going to throw my weight behind this team.
Sure.
Who is it? DJ, who is it?
I don't know.
Who are you backing?
Look, the easy choice here is Germany, right? Like, they're flying high.
Okay.
They are reigning European champions.
Yep.
They
reigning world champions as well.
That as well. Those things usually work out okay for you as an indicative thing. But the problem is with picking an easy side like Germany is the reignings don't tend to do all that well when it comes to the World Cup, right? It's just not precedent setting. So for that reason, you try to go, okay, who is going to be in the right spot to set up? A lot of people are saying Germany. You look at France, they have a really deep squad. Let's just remember the French are going to be France. There are lots of choices.
France going to France?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you look at France, you look at Germany, you look at Spain, obviously, with their precedent recently as well. If I'm going to go dark horsey, right?
But I mean, I guess the question is not like who you think's going to win. But, like, who are you going to root for? Like, who are you going to enjoy watching? Like, who are you going to be like, hey, I'm backing these guys?
Oh, man.
I want to see these guys do a job.
There are loads of things. Like, if you think about, like, Mo Salah and his Egypt side.
Right.
Mo Salah's going to be a one-man team.
Yeah.
You could say, honestly, maybe Liverpool aren't all that different. That's false. I'm being facetious here. But let's just make the argument for a moment.
Firmino's not Egyptian.
Yeah, right. Maybe they'll sneak him in. give him a Pharaoh mask for a little bit. That'd be enough to do. But even that'll make a little bit of a difference. It's just familiarity, things you know, you see. But, oh, man, there's a lot that I'm looking to in the World Cup. Just I'm mostly looking forward to the lack of my own home country's expectations.
Yeah.
Not having to meet them or feed them.
That anxiety won't be there every couple of days during the group stage where you go, oh, we're playing a match today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What about yourself? I mean, is there anyone you're looking forward to seeing?
Bit controversial. Ooh. I don't know how well this is going to go over with some people. I proclaimed it in the office the other day, and it was met with a lot of scorn, a lot of hatred.
Hostility?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm backing, because I'm like, oh, this is the team that's totally going to win.
I already know what you're going to say.
But this is the team I'm going to enjoy this watching.
It's disgusting.
I'm El Tree.
It's gross. There have been a lot of people that are taking that take, like the wish on CONCACAF type of thing. Fuck that.
It's not like a CONCACAF thing. It's just like I genuinely enjoy the guys that play for Mexico.
Sure.
Having watched a lot of Liga MX, Chicharito is my jam and has been for years.
Sure.
Yeah. I think I'm rolling with El Tree.
Okay.
I'm just going to enjoy them. I still think, if you want me to pick, someone to win it, Germany, if France doesn't France, they have quite the squad this year. In fact, it'll actually be a tremendous letdown if they do poorly, I think.
Who, France?
France. I mean, this is an definitely amazing squad. If you pour through it, holy crap.
I mean, they have, six deep at their front, nine positions, which is just insane and not the way at all you think about French soccer. So, look, there's plenty of tastiness
around. They have probably four striker options that Germany would kill to have.
Yes.
Because that's really the one position where you're just going to put Gomez in there again?
Sure. Yeah, missing a little bit of generational aspect to that. But kudos to
me for being a turncoat?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
That'll work.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, way to go.
Winners and wankers.
Winners and wankers. I think we're going to have a pretty congruent winners and wankers this weekend.
Possibly.
Just a feeling.
Who's your winner?
My winner this week, I don't feel like I'm going too far out of bounds here by saying Kenny Walker has to have my winner this week.
Right? Unreal goal.
It was an unreal goal. And the comparisons of the Zlatan goal, I think given that a defender was right in his face, it was off a defender's clearance. Man, just the level that we're playing at here, you just don't see that quality, that skill very often. SportsCenter top 10, just damn, what a freaking hit. What a great way to win a match. And what a good way to shed light on a city that is making a hard push here. So,
good luck, Ottawa.
It sucks to be the Canadian capital sometimes.
And, hey, Canadian Premier League.
It did launch their
official
week.
Launch.
That's
week.
It. But I was so close to giving this the winner too.
Logo, pretty sweet.
Very good. The logo is excellently done, and that was half the reason I want to give him the winner on that one. But that said, Kenny Walker is going to get the winner this week for me. Yeah, I just have to. What about you?
I think there's only one choice for me.
Hmm.
We're going up. I wondered.
I knew.
Wycombe Wanderers.
So if you listened to season 4 of the podcast, Jeremy, was it season 4 that we did this?
Yeah, it was last year, I think.
Wasn't it 2 seasons ago? At some point in the past.
Once upon a time.
I do think this was a season 3 thing, actually, the more I think about this. Because we were both working in Division 4 at the time.
Right.
And we wanted to pick Division 4 sides. And Jeremy chose Wycombe Wanderers in English League 1.
Yeah, because this is the third season I've followed them.
Sure.
So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're correct in what you just said there.
Well, it's been a long slog for you guys. Yeah. And ultimately, today, this weekend.
Saturday.
Whatever. Roundup.
League 2 plays. Everyone plays at the exact same time on Saturday.
There you go.
No Sundays, no Mondays. You get to play at
They get 3 you p.m. up. They get you up. We're going up with them.
We're going up.
Mm-hmm.
Wycombe Wanderers get the promotion. So they're, if you're not familiar, in League 2, it's three automatic promotion spots, and then four through, was a seven, play for a fourth spot to go up into League 1.
Yeah.
And so they were tiering there. Teams were starting to close the gap.
Sure.
But the two teams that were a point or two away from them, with only two matches left going into this weekend, both lost. Wycombe won, which gives them 4 points heading into the final week, which means they officially clinch the automatic spot. Wycombe Wanderers will be in League One next year. Sure. Gareth Ainsworth, an amazing manager, an awesome manager. This guy is a former QPR player who was known more for going with some of the other players and some of his buddies and playing in a cover band at night around around QPR.
Keep it going.
Than he was an actual playing and being like a star there. But he's a legend for QPR. He's took over the manager job about a year before I hopped on to support the team. He's been awesome. Obviously, the big thing that most people know, if you play FIFA, you know that this is the current and future, as he just penned a new 2-year deal, home of Adebayo Akinfenwa, the bowling ball of muscles.
I was going to say, the big personality.
Yeah.
And by big personality, I mean physically big.
Yeah. The middle linebacker that plays for League 2 football.
He's on WhatsApp.
He's on the WhatsApp. Gareth Ainsworth got on the WhatsApp, hit him up, brought him in last season. He's had two fantastic seasons. Actually, statistically, two of his best seasons in his career, even though he's in his mid-30s. So much like Ronaldo, maybe we can put him in there.
Absolutely, why not?
Tom,
the comparison is the same. Yeah,
Akinfenwa, who's going to last the longest?
One of them for sure.
And hey, two of them are actually spokespeople for the NFL.
How about that?
I'll let you figure out which two those are.
It's debatable.
It's so cool though. They get up. They are going to. Because of what happened with some other clubs and their misfortunes, next year, Wycombe Wanderers will play an away league match at the Stadium of Lights against Sunderland, a team that was just last season playing in the Premier League.
I mean, that's a humongous ground.
How insane is that?
Think of the grounds that Wycombe is used to playing under.
Yeah, right? They're mostly like theirs, which are like 10,000 seaters.
At best, right?
Yeah, like some smaller. Like
I've played at a League Two stadium. Like yeah. I've literally played in one. It was one of the cooler stadiums I've ever played in. But the list of stadiums that I've played in is very short and very crappy. And it was a cool little ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't. It in no realm did I think like, oh, I'm getting around. I'm walking out to play at a Premier League ground, right? Like, no, that's not what happened. Playing at Sunderland is a massive deal. It's a huge club.
It's playing
huge.
Essentially at it's huge. It's playing at a Premier League ground. Though. Yeah. It's playing at
even though it'll be league
a top flight facility.
Yeah. So congrats to your boys, though. I mean, that's awesome.
Super, yeah, super amazing.
Glad that one of us picked a team that was worthy of following. My Morecambe Shrimp still just being they're not getting relegated and they're not going up. That's all you can ask for.
Just playing for par.
Yeah. So winners are down.
Yeah.
How about the wankers?
I'm going to go with WCPO and their Twitter.
Yes. I mentioned congruency. Here is our congruency. WCPO.
You're going to have to pull up the tweet because my phone has
gone kaputz.
Yeah, it's
down for the evening.
We lost her.
For that reason, we have the WCPO tweet pulled up here for everyone's reading enjoyment. Why are FC Cincinnati VP Jeff Birding, it's President Jeff Birding, right. And club owner Carl Linder II.
Is there? I don't even know who the VP is.
There are multiple VPs. Right. It depends on what VP you're looking for.
VP of, like, different departments.
So, and none of them are Jeff Birding, is correct. What is important here. What about club owner Carl Lindner II? Nope. What you meant was Carl Lindner III. See, Carl Lindner II was his dad who owned the Reds.
Passed away several years ago.
We're beyond that point. Carl Lindner III is the only one. He is at the new StubHub Center. No. That's not where he is. He's at the new Bank of California Stadium.
Bank spelled awkwardly. B-A-N-C?
It's bank as in the Spanish bank. It's Bank of California, you know, like Baja California that's right there.
Yeah.
Regardless, Mexicali. It's not the StubHub Center because the StubHub Center is all the way up in Carson. I get that's confusing.
Baja's right there, though.
I get it's confusing, though, in whole because I know there's an LA Galaxy play in Los Angeles that's
play at the StubHub Center.
Someone at least Googled LA soccer team and was like, oh, it's the new StubHub Center. That's cool. It's cool. The name was changed.
It's just a real bummer when they figure out that the Chargers also put StubHub Center.
Three massive gaffes in one single tweet.
Like, but they got the fact, like, later on in the tweet, they say Major League Soccer, MLS. Like, that's normally the trip up. It's always like... Major Soccer League, MSL.
But this is a major respected news outlet right here in this town.
Yeah. Yeah, big local ABC affiliate, WCPO.
Mm. Wah, wah, wah. Poorly done.
Well, it's been up for 3 hours.
Yeah. If you're not going to pull down by now.
Still there.
You deserve every wink you
get. I literally tweeted them, why is this still here? What?
That was
why are you still doing
that was
this?
Over an hour ago at this point as well. Of course, if you want to get a hold of us, those are our winners and wankers. If you want to include your own, you want to get involved with this, if you want to answer the question that we answered a little bit ago, that's what we want you to do. We want you to do that. Go ahead, get a hold of us, reach out, tell us what you're looking forward to in the World Cup, answer whatever questions we've not touched on.
What squad are you on?
What team are you behind?
You go on chalk, you go on, you know, like the Germanys, the Brazils, the Argentinas. You're going to go with the lovable, sexy picks of like the Iceland. Hey, it's Iceland's first.
Yeah.
Hey, Egypt. Like, you go with those. You're going to go with some kind of like dark horse, Belgium, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know. Belgium, I think, is going to be, this is their second World Cup in a row where they're going to be the dark horse pick for people.
Yeah. How many horses in a row can you actually be?
Can you just be permanently a dark horse?
Maybe. Ask Gonzaga.
I sure will.
Yeah. If you want to get a hold of us, please do. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com is the email address. Jeremy's at Jeremy Lance. I'm at DJ Schweitzer. No, I'm not. I'm at Wrong Side of Pond. Please get a hold of us. We want to hear from you.
Are we going to see if that Twitter handle is available?
It's not. It's not. Someone else has it. It's not me. Throwing enough memes from it. That's all I'm saying. That's everything for tonight, folks. Have a good one.
Bye.
Simply because this is something you would not expect.
Here's
out of
some
a look.
Results from a search.
I mean, I don't even know how that fucking happens. I literally don't even know how it happens.